Ephesians is about my favorite book in the Bible because it talks about who we are in Christ, and it talks about what he did for us, and it reminds me of what he did for us, and there's prayers that are offered up for us, and there's exhortation to let my mind be expanded and for growth and things like that. It's about my favorite book in the Bible till I read another one, and then that becomes my favorite. There's just so much there. In our Saturday Bible study, let me just encourage you on some things. This Saturday Bible study has been wonderful. Yesterday, it was pretty full in here. And we're on the first John, you know, first, second, third John, but the first chapter of first John. There's such short chapters, but we ran out of time, basically, because the goodness of the Lord, when you start talking about who he is and what we do, it's not a preach. It is absolutely not a preach. If you've been to one, you know. We have someone that facilitates that. Eric Sis did an incredible job yesterday of facilitating that. But the facilitator just basically brings some history and lets you know what the setting was. How many of you know so many times we look at our Bible, we read our Bible, and we filter it through the American church? Can I tell you how far off we are when we do that? But that person that facilitates us gets us on topic and gets a picture in our mind of what was going on. And then we begin to share with each other the things that God has given us. And sometimes it gets a little bit interesting, because the truth is, we've learned a lot of things wrong, church. We've been taught a lot of things wrong. But the Bible is right, and we've got to get it right so that we know. And Logan led us through a couple of weeks of the history of the Bible, where we got it from. You know, it didn't just float down. We got it, and it was written by the inspired men, wrote inspired words from the Holy Spirit down, and that's where we got our Bible from. But Ephesians is one of my favorites, and don't you just love the sound of that rain? Aren't you glad you're on the inside and not on the outside? I love Ephesians so much, and it's so hard to me. It talks about my identity in Christ. That is a good thing. Can I tell you that in most cases, the Lord thinks more of you than you think of yourself? And the cases where you think more of yourself than God does, that's kind of weird. And I've seen a few of those in the church that think, okay. But I can tell you this, you are more than just a picture on God's refrigerator. And he's not just gushing over you. And he loves you enough to tell you the truth. Can you say thank you for that? Would you be offended if you were about to fall into a hole and someone came and knocked you out of the way? You wouldn't be offended in that, would you? Maybe you would for a second. What if it's your child running out into traffic and someone grabs your child and yanks them back? Are you going to give them a piece of your mind for traumatizing your child? Or are you going to thank them for saving the child's life? Well, sometimes the word of the Lord grabs us and pulls us out of harm's way. And for those things, we should say, thank you, Lord. Amen? That's what the word does. You know, the word is described as a two-edged sword. That means it cuts coming and going. Do you think that I preach up here from a place of I got it, but I'm going to come and help you all today? I'm about to get drowned out by the sound of rain. Rain, you know, the Bible says that it's a blessing, that rain is his blessing. So,
hey, send it, Lord.
Send it, Lord. But that cutting of his words, it comes back and cuts this pastor even as I preach it to you. And it's supposed to. Thank you for that, Lord. And it says this in chapter 2. I'm going to start right there. Even though one has set this thing up so perfect, it's like the perfect set for an alley-oop dunk or a spike in volleyball or whatever, but here it comes. And you he made alive. So it's hard to start there, but it's okay because he comes right behind. And you he made alive because you were dead in your trespasses. Trespassing will get you hurt in public land. Trespassing might get you shot at on public land. But in the kingdom of God, trespasses get you dead. Do you know when you trespass? Do you know when you get close to the line? Do you still get that whisper? Do you still get that check? Do you get it when nobody's looking? That's where integrity comes in, y'all. It's easy to do right when everybody's looking. That's why I don't worry about much sin on a Sunday morning for the people that are here. We do really good. Our conduct grade is really good as long as we're here. You should come to church just for that right there. It's when we get away from our brothers and sisters. It's when we get away from what we've been preaching about, doing the word. It's when we get away from doing the word and become a what kind of hearer? A forgetful hearer. And what I said amen to before, I am now involving myself in an area of trespass. But he says this, you he made alive. Alive. I'm not dead anymore. Even though I was alive, I was dead in my spirit, but he has made me alive, right? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, that means death. So I am dead with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. If Christ lives in me, my actions are going to be different after Christ than before Christ. Amen? You he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others, the Lord. The Bible tells us in Romans that we've got this nature about us, this human nature. It is fed by desires that are human desires, and that creates our human conduct, right? But it also says that there is a spiritual nature, and when that has come to us, it affects us and gives us spiritual desires, and that is where we get our spiritual conduct. And we can't confuse that. And if there's confusion, you used that word a little while ago, Logan, if things are messed up in our lives and there's some stuff going on, I can tell you this, God's not confused. The Word's not confused. The Holy Spirit is not confused. It is me who gets off track. Why? Because this Word, as I preached last week, the problem, which is not a problem if you're in the kingdom. It's not a problem if you're in the kingdom, but if you're just tiptoeing around and dabbling with it, it's a big problem because the Word has this attribute. It must be applied to our life, and it must be worked out and done. It is an action thing. The Word of God is not something to be sat on. So the fact that it makes something happen inside of us, it causes us to respond. It does, it does, it does. Just like if you only listen to your flesh, your conduct is going to show who you're listening to. Y'all are too old to play video games and stay up as late as y'all did last night. Y'all look sleepy. I feel like I should just grab an Afghan. Y'all know what an Afghan is? And just pull it up to you and just go to sleep now, little baby. It's okay. We're talking about the blood of Jesus. We're talking about the life in Christ. We're talking about something that is different than we're used to. We'll start right there. Mark, Brother Mark, take this, Mark. Read it and pass it around. It is a coin. It ain't worth much, but it's a coin. Just read it. See if you pick out anything. Pass it all the way around. Just look at it quick and pass it on. Don't steal my money. Don't nobody steal my money, all right? I got another coin right here in my pocket. Adon, I think you gave that to me, the whole armor of God. Reminder, a reminder. As you see it, just see if you notice anything different. It's not an American coin. It's something else. Our coin makes a bold statement. That coin that you're going to look makes a bold statement. Our coin makes a bold statement, says, "In God we trust." Some of us still do. It bothers me, it worries me about who's trusting in the Lord, but as long as there's five of us, is what I'm looking at. As long as there's five of us. Somebody, you understand? You know what I'm talking about when I say that? As long as there's five of us. Read. You can read and find out about that. It'll make sense to you then. But it says that we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh. You remember those days? I remember them. Don't talk about them much. So I'm not proud of them. I don't want my children to know. What you do in front of your children kind of purchases a license for them. If mom did it, if dad did it, do you understand what I'm saying with that? Listen, I do want to be real enough to you to understand. My youngest Walker is in college now, just a few years ago. He said something to me. I've said this once before. And you know how Walker is. You know he loves the Lord. And Walker thinks the world of his daddy and his mom. And that means something to me. I've told my children this. I wish so much that I would have grown up beside her. And she's the only little girl I would have known. And I'd have been brave enough to try to hold her hand. And I'd have been brave enough to fight somebody for her. You know, because in those days, the winner of the fight got the girl. That's how it was. The winner of the fight won the argument. Doesn't matter what the argument was. Whoever's got the bloodiest nose and can't walk away, they lost. So they lost everything. They lost everything. But I was like, I just wish that she would have been the only one my whole life. I wish that it was just her. And the subject came up of one day, and it was a dreaded subject for me because, yeah, I'm Walker's pastor too, but I'm his dad. And I'm his pastor. And we're talking about some stuff, and something comes up, and I'm like, oh, can we move past this subject? And then he said, oh, Dad, I know, I'm thankful for you, Dad. I'm like, oh, here it comes. Dad, I'm thankful because I know you would have never done that when you were my age. And I can't tell you how bad I wanted to. I wanted to pull a Fred Sanford and start going the other way and seeing the light. I wanted to play it off. I wanted that subject to go away, but there it sat, and I had a decision to make. And I could either tell the truth and confess, or I could continue on with what his little innocent mind thought of his dad. But what would that have done if the truth would have shown itself later on? It would have made a liar out of me. It would have broken that trust. It would have done damage that even though repaired, wouldn't be forgot. Possibility of repairing those things. And I had to tell him, son, And I'm telling you, the tears came. And we were sitting in, we were actually in my truck going down the road. He was right there beside me, and I started crying. I said, son, I said, Walker, buddy, I knew this would come up one day, but your daddy failed in that area, son. I wish I had not. And I'm not proud of that. And I hate that. I can't change it, but I will not lie to you. And I'm telling you, it's like the warmth of the Holy Spirit in that room. He put his hand over me. He said, Dad, it's okay. It's like that. Dad, it's okay. I was worried that I was going to damage him. He can handle the truth. He can handle the truth. And I told him the truth, and it really just helped that bond, that bridge between humanity and sin and a saved person. Because the scripture said that that's how we were. And we weren't just forgiven. We were forgiven from something. We were forgiven from our sins, from my sins. That's why I can't talk about the blood of Jesus without it having an effect on me, because I can't fix what I did, but in him it's already fixed. It's already fixed. The proof is right here in this scripture. Among also, whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And when I read through that, that jumped off at me right there. It jumped out at my brain. I'd never looked at this right here. It said we fulfilled the desires of the flesh, but it also says, and we fulfilled the desires of our mind. Listen, that's exposing a dangerous part of us. There are some acts that our flesh completes, but there are other sinful acts that our minds complete. Because in our minds, we go all the way there. Never seen that before. You ever let your mind go too far? That hurts until you say, but I've been forgiven of that because of the blood of Jesus. He forgave the times I let my mind go further than it should have gone. We need that check. We need that check in us, and we need to obey that check inside of us. But God, verse 4, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. I don't want to just be a picture on his refrigerator, because there's got to be 8 billion pictures. I hate that silly picture of Jesus. But what he did for me with his love is that he forgave me of my sins. And that's what matters. And here's when he did it. When we were dead in our trespasses. There is so much life that when I was walking in death, he made a way for me to be alive. And I can't brush that off. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive. When I was dead, he made me alive. Together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together. Now, this is spiritually speaking right here. And made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If he's got you sitting beside Jesus as you walk through this earth, should not that affect where your mind goes? In his presence, shouldn't it affect something? Shouldn't that change something about how we act, how we are doing, what we are saying, what comes out of us? Any speech that's not reflecting him or honoring him. that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember, in other words, because of that, this, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Where's the coin at? How far has the coin made it? Pass it real quickly. Pass it real quickly. Just look at it real quick. If you don't see it, I'm going to. How many of you have said, oh, that's the word he's going to go to? You know what word? You know what word I'm going to talk about? You know what I'm going to say? What did that coin say that I just read? Commonwealth. Commonwealth. That coin right there is a coin from the Bahamas that we picked up in 2015 on a vacation with Kenzie. And I've always kept that. What's that, baby? And oh, yeah, we let them come too. Sorry. But the difference in that coin and in our coins is that coin says the commonwealth, because that coin is from a kingdom. The Bahamas is in a kingdom. They are still under, even though they're away from England, they still honor the king. Google it. The Bahamas is part of a kingdom. So we don't understand kingdom. We understand church. We understand American church. So we're way off. But in the kingdom, there is a commonwealth. And the commonwealth of the kingdom is the king. You get the king. You get access to the king. You get access to the king. You want to see the king? There he is, right there. It's commonwealth. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus. There's nothing like it. Nothing like it. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. I heard a story about a man, R.W. Shambach. If you know that name, raise your hand. It means you're old like me. R.W. Shambach, he did tent revivals. He was famous for tent revivals. He worked with a man that had an anointing on his life. His name was A.A. Allen. And I know you hear stories about men. Can I tell you that they're men? That should end your surprise right there. Oh, they're men. But it doesn't mean that they didn't ever have an anointing on their life. I saw R.W. Shambach on Cherry Road many years ago, tent revival. An incredible man. And, well, I won't say that, but something happened in that tent revival that spoke to me, that he spoke, and it happened, and I was like, whoa, okay, all right, we're on to something here, boys. But I remember seeing him, and I would see him, and there would be thousands of people listening to him, and on Cherry Road, there was about 15 of us, and he was still preaching, and I can't tell you what that does to me. I've had the privilege of preaching to thousands of people. I've had the privileges of being on the airway. But every Sunday in my regular that I love, I preached anywhere 50, 75, maybe 100 sometimes. And I'm good with that. But I don't preach to you like you're 50 or 100. Or I preach to you the same way I do if I'm on the airways or when I go to Ohio. I'll get to preach to 1,000 people. But that's okay. That's fine. You need to be who you are all the time. There's a sermon right there. You need to be who you are all the time, because all the time you are who you are already. How about that? You're who you are. What's that thing you say, Christine? If who you are is, what is it?
Oh, yeah. Wait. Come on now. Hold on, just
you say it to me.
No, I do not. If who you are looks a lot like who you used to be, then it's not who you used to be, it's who you are.
Bow our heads and let's pray. Y'all can go get in the line for chicken after that one, can't you? But A.A. Allen was casting the devil out of somebody. And I know we don't talk about stuff like that, but there's definitely devils running around. Our world wouldn't be where it's at if there weren't devils in people, demons in people. And someone that was demon-possessed. And they were praying over that person, but he had a huge thing going on and couldn't just deal with that. And he, R.W. Shambach, was young in the ministry, and he said, he told me to get the person and take them backstage and finish casting the devils out of them. And this, I mean, stories like that I don't forget about, Don. When you hear stories like that, they stick with you, especially as a kid. And he said, we prayed for about 20 minutes and nothing happened. And he said, he told some of the ladies that were there that had been singing on the stage, he said, start singing blood songs. That's what he said. Y'all start singing blood songs. He said, those ladies started singing blood songs. And he said, when we started singing the blood songs, the demons were coming out of that person. And then he said, I thought all the demons were gone out of them, and I asked them. He said, "If you would have to see, there's nobody like R.W. Shambach. So if you ever saw him, you would understand how he said it. But he said he looked at that person, and he said, hey, demons, are there any more of you in there? And he said, a voice spoke back and said, no, that's all of us. He said, you lying, foul spirit, come out. And he came out, and the woman was delivered. I haven't seen that on purpose. I've only heard of stories like that. But I do wonder, if I ask the question, is there anything else in you that you've not left at the altar of God? Is there anything that you've stepped into or dabbled in or hid in or in the darkness of night and the wife's asleep and the children are in bed or anything? Are you supposed to be at work? Are you supposed to be where you're supposed to be, but you're where you want to be instead of where you're supposed to be? Is there anything like that, if we said, is it all out? Would you say, would you leave out of here? Yeah, that's all of it. Knowing, is there something that you could have given to God and claimed what he said in his word, that when you were dead in your trespasses, he paid for that? I'm talking about sin. Is there anything that you need to get out of your life? Logan, when you opened it up with Isaiah 6, you actually nailed it. You said, in the year that King Uzziah died. Uzziah means pride. In the year that pride died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. In the year that King Pride died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. You won't see the Lord high and lifted up until pride dies. But when pride dies, you'll see him. You'll never be who you're supposed to be in Christ, allowing sin in. He wants all of you. He wants all of you. He wants your dependence on him. How can your ears hear what he's saying to you with messy ears? How can your eyes see with blurred vision? How can you walk an ordered step if there's no real communication between you and him? I want to see that I just feel like the Lord wants me to go on. I just feel like the Lord, I don't want a feeling. I want to know. I want to know. I want to know. Can you say thank you for the blood of Jesus? Thank you for your blood, Jesus. Thank you for your blood, Jesus. Lord, let us be at a place where we're not just repelled by sin. Sin makes us sick. Lord, I remember in my life where sin got sick inside of me. And anything that could be attached to that started making me sick. And it started changing the way I looked at things, the way I saw things, what I looked at, how long I looked at it, what came out of my mouth. That was a big one, Lord. What came out of my mouth? Your word says so much about our mouths, but the one thing in particular, that our mouths are a dangerous thing and our mouths can be a blessing, but they can't be both. Lord, what I hear, I had to put distance between my ears and what I was hearing. So I had to distance myself away till that faded away so I could hear what you have to say. Lord, there is a separation that takes place from us and the world. And we run so close to that line. How can we distinguish your voice amongst all the voices? But your word says in Revelation that your word, your voice is like the sound of many waters. Just like in the ocean when the waves are crashing. Just like in the mountains when the waters are falling and hitting up against the rock and it washes out other sounds. Let your voice wash out all other sounds in our ears so we can hear you clearly, Lord. Lord, let us be a people who don't just appreciate your word and don't just tip our hat to you, but we are hungry for your word and we feast on your word and we know that you fill us, Lord, but we're hungry. And when we wake up like I wake up naturally. I wake up hungry, Lord. I need some food. Let me wake up to you spiritually. I need the spiritual food. We will facilitate that, Lord. In this house, we will facilitate that. It'll be your word on display. It'll be your word exclaimed. Lord, forgive us for opinions. They mean nothing. And they're usually associated with a whole lot of trouble. Why would we take an opinion when we could have your word, Lord? So let us be the people that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. It's really just a choice. Jeremiah. I'm giving you Joshua. Choose you this day whom you will serve. It's a choice. It's always been a choice. Your whole life, when you look back at it, will be a plotting of choices. Things you said yes to, things you said no to. And that's what your life will be. And that's what my life will be. And that's why I always say, choose wisely. Choose wisely. There is a path. Proverbs talks about a path. It says a lot about a path. It says, be careful where you walk. Don't walk here. Get away from that. Turn the other way. Do not come near it. That's a warning from the Lord. Christine, will you come? Can I tell you that I only preach about the blood because I love you? And I don't think that this quietness in the room is somehow saying they're scared, they're worried. I believe you appreciate the blood. Amen. I learned to quit mistaking your silence for not listening or not caring. I think when you get quiet, that shows that you're thinking about it. And if we should ever engage our mind, it's when this has gone forth. And I appreciate that silence. And that reverence and that honor unto the Lord. The last thing I would try to do is guilt you into anything, but our own lives should speak to us. My own life should tell me where I'm at. My own life does tell me where I'm at. And especially when I hear his precious words come into my ear. The seed makes a demand on the soil. The seed cannot not make a demand on the soil. But if the soil comes into contact with the seed, the soil will make a demand on the seed. And that's a beautiful thing. Well, I know because His word is true. I can ask him things. And I can have assurance that it's in his hands now because of the relationship. And the good thing is that if we have sinned, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ is your lawyer. And he pleads your case. And he doesn't talk anything about your actions. It's his blood. Covers you. If you've made a mess, if you've made a mess in your life and you've accidentally spilt a little bit, yeah. His grace will come in and clean up. Yeah, you'll do that. And if you make another mess, His grace will come in and clean up. But He'll also tell you this. He'll say, look, how about we do this? How about we move you right here, away from the edge. Some of you need to get off the edge. Stop just depending on His grace to clean up your messes when He says, come out, be separate. I just want you to take this time while Michaela sings to examine yourself. And then I want to ask you scripturally to do what David did and say, God, search my heart, God. You know my ways. See if there be a wicked way in me, because what would look right and what would sound right would be for me to pastorally say, hey, you guys, examine yourselves, examine yourselves. But I know me because I've examined myself. Can I tell you what I've got for me? I've got a whole lot of grace for me. I got more grace for me than I have for you because I'm human. A matter of fact, I can see what you're doing wrong and miss what I did wrong. That's the human side of us. But if I'll carry that thing on out, that searching, and ask you to do what David did, and we get past what we saw in our lives and say, God, will you search my heart? Now we are exposed. Now we are open to the one who knows everything and the one who sees everything. And He's already paid the price for that. You know when Jesus paid the price for your sins, all your sins were in the future. You see that, don't you? It's 2,000 years ago He paid the price. That's how much He loved us. But you got to be real with the one who's real. You got to be real with the one who sees all. And what you see, because I was even raised up in something that made me think that the women were supposed to do this outward appearance thing and the men were supposed to do this outward appearance. And if we got all those things right, certainly we would live right. But 2 Corinthians 7 says this. He said, that come out and be separate. And it says that perfect holiness is being cleansed on two dimensions, the flesh and the spirit. The flesh you can see. And by the way, all those things that they told us we couldn't do, most of them do those things now anyway. That wasn't God's instruction. That was men trying to give it a whirl. But the flesh stuff we can see, and there are truly flesh things, but spirit things, we can't see those, but He can. Like I said earlier, those completed evil thoughts that we have, those sinful thoughts that we see them through to completion, He sees all that. And He says, I want to clean that up. I want to clean that up. So we think there are things that He wants to fix in us, but He's got other things that He wants to fix in us. Why? Because He's going to use you. He can't use you with all of you in there, though. He can't use us. Search my heart, God. See if there be an evil way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, open me up. Open my mind, my eyes, my ears. The hidden things, God. I fall on your mercy. Can you tell him that? God, we should be thankful for that. God, I fall on your mercy. This is a chance and I'm taking it. I'm not waiting around. I'm falling on your mercy, God. Things in my life, there's some things that need to end in my life. Today is the last. Never again, Lord. Thank you for it, Jesus. It's a wonderful place to run to is Him. It's a wonderful place to run to is His mercy.